Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim, and we're going to begin in chapter 22, Pasuk 20. We're going to learn a number of psukim that, if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe that there is another code of law existent on the face of this earth that has any kind of laws or statutes that in any way approximate what is said here. V'ger lo tone v'lo tilchatzenu, ki gerim eitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. V'ger, you shall not, tone means to hurt, to offend. I believe that your English translation says to vex. To vex.
Mine says wrong.
To wrong.
Yeah.
To wrong. It means to really to hurt, to cause ache, grief, to upset the ger. V'lo tilchatzenu. Lo tilchatzenu means not to to oppress him or apply pressure. Aggravate. Ki gadim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. We have the right to assume that the simple meaning of the pasuk is ger, and many of the mefarshim indeed learn it this way. Ger means one who has come to become join the Jewish people, to join the Jewish people. You're not permitted to cause him hurt, to cause him ache. You're not permitted to oppress him or place pressure on him, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, if you'll take a look in chapter 23, Pasuk 9. In chapter 23, Pasuk 9, this is repeated again with a slight difference. The ger lo tilchatz. You shall not oppress the ger. Va'atem yedatem et nefesh ha-ger. You know the soul of the ger. You know how he feels. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim appears in both of these psukim. Both of them say because you are strangers in the land of Egypt. The second pasuk also adds, "Va'atem yedatem et nefesh ha-ger." You know the soul of the ger. You know how he feels. How he feels. All right. I want to learn another few psukim, and then we're going to go back and discuss it all. Kol almana v'yatom lo ta'anun. You're not permitted to cause any pain or hurt to a widow or to an orphan. Im ane ta'ane oto, if you are going to cause hurt or pain, ki im tzok yitzak elai, he will call unto me, shamoa eshmatza akato, I will hear his cry. V'chora api, and I will get angry, God says, v'hadakti etchem v'chorev, and I will kill you by the sword. V'hoyun isheichem almanot u'b'neichem yetomim, your wives are going to be widows, and your children are going to be orphaned. Alright. We're talking about that which is Jewish law. This is law. Not only that, there is only one other place in all of Tanakh where it says that God will get angry. Only one other place. That one other place is in Vahoyom Shema, in the second chapter of Shema. It says, if you will turn to other gods, v'chora af Hashem b'chem, God will become angry with you, v'atzat ha-shamayim, and he's going to withhold the rain from the heavens. That's talking about idolatry. And here we are talking about causing pain and suffering to the almana or to the atom. Only two places where it says God will get angry. And here it says even more, I will get angry with you, and I will kill you by the sword. We're talking about a very, very special four psukim And these are psukim that we're now going to go through them and see what really is being said here. I'm going to read a number of the Rashis. Ger lo tone velo tilchatzeno. Ger lo tone velo tilchatzeno. Says Rashi the following. What's the difference between tone and tilchatzeno? What's the difference between hurt and pressure or oppressing? So Rashi says the following. Ger lo tone onoad devarim. To hurt somebody verbally with words. As far as Torah is concerned, that which we learned when we were little children doesn't really apply. And the fact is, it isn't really true. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not true. The fact is, most probably, that names can hurt even more than sticks and stones. Broken bones will heal. But we may remember for a lifetime something that somebody said to us. The hurt and the pain. You know, sometimes it's sick or something hurts. When the pain is gone, you should know the pain is gone. You can't even remember what it was. Can't even remember what it was. But when you think again about what he or she said to me, we can get aggravated all over again. And interestingly enough, the Torah first says, Ger lo tone, you should not cause him hurt verbally. The lo tilchatzenu, there Rashi says, Gzeilat mamon, to oppress means to steal from him, to take, to do something actively, not merely verbally. Lo tilchatzenu. Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Says Rashi the following, Imhonito, if you will taunt him or torment him, he can also torment you, and he can tell you, you also came from people who were originally strangers. Well, you came on the Mayflower. Your parents came here and established this country. Everybody in on some level is a stranger. Anaya gekimene, agrina, agrina. So therefore the ger, one has to be very, very careful the way in which one treats the ger. The question is, who are we talking about over here? Does this refer to the ger, the one who has now chosen to adopt a new religion, and he's now become part of the Jewish people? So we will see a number of the Rishonim say, yes, that's precisely who we're talking about. You have to be careful about how you treat the ger. For example, the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says the following. We are withheld by Torah from causing pain to the ger, even with words. Who is a ger, he says? One of the nations of the world. A person who belonged to one of the nations of the world. He now underwent conversion. And he has joined our religion. We are not permitted to shame or embarrass him, even if it's only with words. Shenema, as it says, is pasuk v'ger lo toneh. Even though we're also told, there's a pasuk later on in Torah that says, lo tonu ish et amito. I'm not permitted to taunt, torment, or cause hurt to a fellow Jew verbally. Now the ger, the ger is a fellow Jew for all intents and purposes, and halachically he's a fellow Jew. Why does the Torah write a separate pasuk to tell me don't hurt the ger? Says the Chinuch, Avraham Bishon Mishorim Bezeh BiYisrael. We are warned and we're told not to do this by Yisrael. Bezeh, and this person Kivin Shenichnas BeDatenu, once he has joined our religion, Hadehu Ki Yisrael, he is like a Jew. Hosef hakatuv lanu azharabo, the pasuk over here comes to add another negative commandment. It means in the event that you hurt a fellow Jew verbally, you have transgressed one negative commandment. You're going to hurt a ger, two negative commandments that you have transgressed. And furthermore, he says, Torah again repeats this this prohibition, l'fishe inyan ha'aynoa elav krova yoter mi b'Yisrael, because the chances that we may act in a shameful way with the stranger is more likely. Now, the stranger, in a sense, is weak. He's helpless. He's vulnerable. He's vulnerable. And, you know, we don't start up with people who we are afraid are going to be able to react and react with strength. We don't start up with people where we think that, you know, he may be of aid and assistance to me someday. You know, one hand washes the other. You know what it's like. But the ger is the stranger, the newcomer. So therefore the Torah repeats, it says, make sure, don't you dare do it. Ki ha-Yisrael yesh lo goalim shetovim el bono, because the person who is a Jew has people who will stand up for him. Ve'ot tam achar bo, another reason, says the Chinuch, sheyach shash bo shelo yarzim l'sudo mikas ha-bizyonot. We're also concerned that this guy may just drop Judaism and go back to his roots, because take a look at how Jews made him suffer. Omru the Sifra says, Shalom Tomalo, should never say to him, yesterday you were an idolater, and now, Shaina Yid, you've now become a Jew. There's even a medrash that says, you're talking to me, and the chazer, you can still taste it between your teeth. Can't say that. According to the Chinuch, it seems quite clear that the meaning of the word ger is the person who has converted to Judaism. Yes?
But why does it doesn't? Both times says, because we were strangers in Egypt. We didn't convert to Muslims.
All right, go ahead. Good.
That the pressing or
embarrassing
would go to all people.
I mean, that
it shouldn't be only to the
Ger. No, because there is another pasuk in Torah, in Parshat Kedoshim, that says, "Lo tonu ishet amito," a Jew is not permitted to cause hurt verbally to a fellow Jew. So the Chinuch asked, why does the Torah have to tell me that you shouldn't hurt the Ger? The Ger is a Jew. So he falls under the category of the other pasuk, the pasuk that says that you shouldn't cause hurt to a Jew. So the Chinuch says, because the Torah wants to tell you that you're going to transgress not one aveda, there are going to be two avedas. You cause harm to the ger, two avedas. Now listen to Rashi, and he will explain. Rashi says over here, kol lashon ger, wherever it says the word ger, you know what it means? Adam shelo nolad ba'otah medina, a person who was not born in that country, elo bo medina acheret lagur sham, he's come from another country to live there.
Nothing to do with religion.
Actually. Exactly. Do you hear? According to Rashi, Rashi has expanded the meaning of the word ger. It's not limited merely to the one who converts to Judaism. You know what it's talking about? Anybody who's a stranger. Anybody who's a stranger. An Olech Hadash! An Olech Hadash! For that matter, it's all of us. Yes. It's nearly anybody who's new, and what happens if somebody's not an Olech Hadash, but they lived for 30 years in Haifa and moves to Yerushalayim. It's a stranger. I remember, after 12 years in Toronto, I moved to New York, to West Hempstead. Those first few months in West Amsterdam, it's a very beautiful community. Beautiful, lush backyards. Beautiful, tree-lined streets. Ah, what a gullus. What a gullus. But I felt like a stranger. the mailman didn't know me. In the makolet, they had no idea who I was. And here it's, you know, the new rabbi is walking in. They should have had a little derech eretz. My bank manager wouldn't even cash a check. I only had Canadian checks. He wouldn't even cash Canadian cash. Americans, you should know, are the most provincial people in the world. An Israeli knows every currency in the world. You come into a bank in America, anything that's not green is by them monopoly money. You know, pay $200, PESCO, go to jail. And he took a look at Canadian cash, and he thought, what is this? No, I had to wait about a month until the check cleared, you understand? Here in Eretz Yisrael, in a few days, checks clear. In America, till a Canadian check clears. I don't know where they send it to the North Pole and back, until finally, and you feel very, very strange. You feel lost. I remember I didn't know how to get from one place to the next. It's a terrible, terrible feeling as one moves from one place to the next. And what the Torah is saying, according to Rashi, is the ger, the person who's come from elsewhere, is disoriented. He is not in his natural habitat. Everything to him is strange. It's different. It's even frightening. There's something frightening. There's a sense of a lack of equilibrium. You don't feel like your 2 feet are standing on solid ground. And then there's a fascinating process. And it takes, I think one can appreciate the process for years. The years in West Hempstead when I kept thinking back, you know, I never knew how to get from Plainview to Islip, and I can get from Plainview to Islip. I can schlep from East Meadow all the way into Kew Gardens. When I learned how to drive to Borough Park, oh, that was a tremendous accomplishment, to the basements of Borough Park. You know, the most important things in Borough Park are below ground, all the stores. Yeah, the mikvatim of Borough Park. There's a sense of being absolutely disoriented. And therefore, Rashi is telling us that this pasuk of the ger lo tonev lo tilchatzenu is referring to a person who is new here. He's a stranger. It's going to take time until he feels as though he knows where he is. It'll take time until he overcomes all of his hesitations. And you have to be very, very careful, very, very careful when you're dealing with him. We're going to see that in the halachot that we're going to learn, a number of the same ideas are going to be expressed, and we will be able to expand even further on the pasuk of ger lo tonev lo tilchatzenu. The question yet remains, what's the difference between the pasuk that appears later that says va'atem yedatem et nefesh hager ki geidim heitem beretz Mitzrayim, chapter 23, pasuk 9. It would seem that the difference is the following. What did Rashi say over here? Rashi said over here, don't cause any hurt to the ger, because Apu Yachol Lahonotcha, he can also turn around and tell you, and listen, you're a 100% Yankee Doodle. I mean, what are you? Now, what does Rashi seem to be saying is the pshat over here? Rashi seems to be saying that for your own benefit, don't start up with the ger. There's something very subjective about this. You're going to start up with him. You should know you may get it straight back in the face. What about the next pasuk, chapter 23? Pasuk 9. Over there it says, V'ger lo tilchatz, V'atem yedatem et nefesh hager, ki geirim heyitem beretz Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, et nefesh hager, you know the soul of the ger. Rashi there says, kamo poshelo kishelo chatzim oto. You know how difficult it is for him when you were present. You know it. It's part of your national consciousness. It's part of your experience. You know what Rashi is saying? That here, what the Torah is telling me is, you have to empathize with him. The first pasuk, Ger lo tonev lo tilchatzenu, Rashi says, don't start up with him because he can turn around and give it back to you. So why shouldn't you cause him harm or hurt? Because you may be hurting yourself. It's very, very subjective. It's the me that I should be concerned about. In the second pasuk, Rashi is saying, the emphasis is completely different. You should be big enough because of your national experience to know what his pain is like. Not for fear of what he might say back to you, but know how he feels. You know the soul of the ger. You know how difficult it is for him when he is oppressed. Further, in both of these psukim, there is only one association that we can make in Torah. The only one association instantly by virtue of the use of the word lachatz. The only other place where the word lachatz is used is by Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, where God says, "Agam yadati et halachatz asher Mitzrayim lo chatzim otam." I know the oppression that the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, the choice of the word is in order to bring instantly to mind only one association, one of the worst experiences in Jewish national history up to that time. So the ger lo tone velo til chatzeh. All right, let's go further. Kol almana v'yatom lo ta'anun. You shall not cause any pain to a widow or a fatherless child. Yes. Here also, Rashi takes almana v'yatom and expands it. Remember, what did Rashi say in distinction to the chinuch and others? The pasuk of ger was not talking about only the one who has converted to Judaism, as the chinuch said. Rashi said ger, kol lashon ger. The term ger refers to anybody. Anybody who's a stranger, he's new here. And we know how a stranger feels. Can't hurt people. You have to be careful. You have to be deeply concerned. Rashi says, al manavi atom. So when you learn the pasuk, it would seem to be that there's a special relationship, a special way in which you have to conduct yourself toward the widow or the orphan. Says Rashi again over here. Hu hadin lechol adam. The pasuk applies to all people. The pasuk talks about that which is the norm. Because these are people who are weak, and therefore it is more prevalent that people are going to cause them pain. But Rashi is expanding the meaning of the word almanaviyatom to include anybody. But what does it mean, anybody? It means anybody who is vulnerable, weak, and you never know. You never know what's doing in somebody else's kishkis. You never know what peckle somebody else is carrying. It means, therefore, somebody may very well be vulnerable to hurt right now because of an illness in the family, because loss of a job. It could be because problems with a child. There are so many things that go on in the lives of people that make them very specially vulnerable, which means that by saying a bad word to them, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be compounding their pain. So Rashi says, Al-Manavi Atom is used as the example. And very often the Torah does this, that the Torah is going to use an example, and what the Torah means really is the whole range of people against whom one might sin in this way. But they use They use an example, somebody where we immediately understand, we instantly relate to the idea of almana v'yatom. But it refers to anybody. It refers to anybody who may be vulnerable. In other words, that I'm not permitted to cause pain or harm verbally or otherwise to a fellow Jew. There's another pasuk, but there's an added prohibition, an added isser in the event that one does it to somebody who is uniquely vulnerable. And we never know. So it's a frightening, frightening halacha, because you never know. You never know. You never know when you're going to say something that is going to cause hurt to somebody else. Never know. We have to be sensitive. We have to be sensitive. I think I once told you about the 4 years that my kablan had gone bankrupt and I was going to be without an apartment, and here I am already, you know, old and gray, and there I am in Har Nof, and I watch young couples wet behind the ears, 20, 21 years old, moving into their gorgeous apartments, and I'm fashlugen and fazumt and fashlept in some kind of a rented apartment, 6 rented apartments in 6 years. And I had this friend that would come from Chutz Laretz every few months to visit and would tell me about all the improvements that he's making in his apartment. Oh, Rabbi, you see the kitchen that I'm putting in and the appliances that I'm putting in and the zitzdotnu, the flats. And what I have, believe me, I have forgiven them a long time ago. They didn't know they were... You have to be sensitive even about pulling out a picture over there of his 10 grandchildren. Maybe showing it to somebody who has no grandchildren and is waiting and maybe never will have grandchildren. The hurt and the pain can be so profound. We never know when we're going to say something that will hurt. You have to be very careful. And according to Rashi, Kol almana v'yatom means anybody who may be vulnerable or weak in some area. So that by virtue of what I'm going to say, I'm going to hurt them. It means, it does indeed mean that we have to be extremely, extremely careful. I think I once mentioned to you another one like I never forget it. I'll tell you, I've forgotten the pain of so many different things in my lifetime. And this one also, the pain is gone, but you don't forget. Don't forget them. I never forget certain things. People say things you never forget. After I moved to from Toronto to West Hempstead, here I had uprooted a family. It was very difficult. My wife had been born in Toronto. My children were born there. That was the community that I knew. And I come moving to this community out there on Long Island. Very the Hore Choshech. Nice Hore Choshech. But it was... I'm walking home with the first or second Shabbos. I'm walking home with a fella from shul, and he says, "Rabbi, I pay more taxes every year than your whole salary." I didn't know how to react. How do you react? I mean, it was so terrible. What a terrible thing to say. And I'll tell you, it's stupid. You're right, I was going to use the word stupid. And then again, I don't know whether I was thinking as much of my own pain or thinking, Rabid, you're out of your mind. How do you talk like this? I mean, this is my Shalom Aleichem to a new community. Can you imagine you schlepping 5 kleine kinderlach by car from Toronto? Hey, it was down. You know what moving is? Moving is the biggest pain of all. The move. So here I've come to the big job in the big town. We're finally making it back, and I'm afraid to tell you, a year later he was bankrupt. And I never wished him any ill. I wish him kol tov shebaolam. Be'emet. But you have to be careful. We never know when we're saying something. This fellow should have known. But there are many other instances where we say things and we mean them We mean them sincerely. We didn't really mean hurt, but we don't know. We don't know how it's going to hurt. Yes, Malcolm.
Rav Volk, you said, "If nafshi hashkar b'torah, I don't mind all the millions of the world."
No. He would most probably have told me that being a rabbi in our community is not a job for a Jewish boy or something like that. Nah, that wouldn't have meant anything. Sorry, Volkunis to me. We have to be very, very careful. And I'll tell you, there's another thing. Sometimes it takes many, many years. You know people for years, but you don't really know people. I remember so many instances where somebody that seemed to be like, all right, nothing terribly special. And by the way, that's a horrible thing to think about any human being. The truth is, you learn at a certain stage in life that every human being has something very special about them. But here you take a look at somebody, and then you find out that this Shmaidrai has been taking care of an old mother in the house for 20 years. I remember when I found out that information about somebody, here I see him every day. See him every day. I have no idea. An old mother, an invalid, and he was taking care of her for 20 years in one single instant of time. That idea of him as a Shmaidrai, a nothing special. Yes, my opinion of him and my impression skyrocketed. I thought, take a look at a mitzvah of kibud ein that this man has been fulfilling in his house, still he paid for 20 years. And then I just remember thinking to myself, God Almighty, I hope I never said anything to him in all of those 20 years that might have hurt him. We don't know what's going on by anybody. We don't know the tzaras, the way in which people are vulnerable. Rashi is saying, "Kol almana v'yatom." This does not apply only to almana v'yatom. Interestingly enough, we're going to see that the Chinuch and the Rambam are going to say it applies only to almana v'yatom. Rashi, in both of these cases, says that it refers to everybody. Now, when we say that the Rambam disagrees, it doesn't mean that the Rambam says, well, oh no, you can hurt anybody else who's vulnerable. Anybody else who's vulnerable, according to the Rambam, falls under the other category of lotonu ishet amito. There's a pasuk that says you're not permitted to hurt anybody verbally. But Rashi says that this edit, kol almana v'yatom lo tanun, includes anybody who for some reason is weak, feels helpless, unprotected. Imane, yes? Well, I assume that that should be the job of the Chanukah, but I'll tell you, the truth is we can learn it a little bit too. We have to remind ourselves, of it. I recall I believe it's a famous story, Rabbi Saul Salanter. Saul Salanter, who was the one who started the founder of the Musa movement. So his students came to him once, it was a few weeks before Pesach. It was before Pesach, so they were going to bake matzahs. So they come to the Rebbe, say, Rebbe, what should we be careful about? Do you know what baking matzahs is like? There are all sorts of halachot that you have to be careful of. I mean, one little drop of chametz, and there goes the whole Pesach. So there are all sorts of chumras, how quickly it should be done, and how quickly it should be baked, and how the water should be put into the flour, and when the water should be fetched, and from what kind of a well. There are so many halachas that you have to be careful. So they asked Rabbi Yisrael Rebbe, tell us, what should we be careful of when we go to bake matzahs? What big chumras should we watch out for? So he says, only one. Kol almana v'yatom lo ta'anun. Don't cause any hurt to a widow or an orphan. He says, you're going to come over there, and who are the women that are doing the kneading of the dough? Nebuch an Urim Efrai an Almuna, working in order to make a few piaster or groschen for Pesach, and you shiny Yidden are going to come in over there and you're going to start telling her, schneller, quicker, clean your nails, don't do it that way, no, not good. I don't want to eat matzahs where you are over on Kol Almanav Yatom Lo Ta'anun. That's the chumrah that I'm interested in. There's another story, I believe, with the father of the Netziv, of Tali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. It was a seicher, a greiser, so he went, he was out on a business trip, and he came back after a business trip, and he brought his wife crystal dishes. Beautiful. Very expensive. The art, the work that went into it, the craftsmanship. His wife takes a look at this. She was overcome absolutely with emotion. First of all, the expense, the beauty. I think it's a gift from her husband. That also means something. Anyway, so she gives it to the maid. She gives it to the maid that the maid should put it away in the closet. The maid also was so overcome with emotion, just something so precious, she dropped it. And it broke. It broke. You can imagine already the tzarkus, the shying that took place in that house as her as the woman of the house said, Kalyika, 10 thumbs, Zneilinka, and look what you did. Husband comes in, he hears all of the screaming in the house, he comes in, he says, what's going on over here? He says, take a look, look what she did. She can't do anything, she's broken, it's terrible. Screaming. She says, wait a minute. You're not allowed to yell at her. You can't embarrass her. You can't shame her. You want to take her to a din teira, you can take her to a din teira, that you have a right to do. You can take her to a din teira. You can go to the chav. And decide who. Does she have to pay for it? Doesn't she have to pay for it? Nobody gave you the permission to yell at her. So she says, she calms down. So, you know, it's a good idea. I'm going to the hall. She goes, she gets her coat, tells the maidservant, we're going to the hall. As they're getting ready to leave the house, so she sees her husband, the God of Israel, is putting on his coat. So she asks him, where are you going? I say, I'm going to the hall with you. She says, don't worry, you don't have to come to the Rav. I can tell the Rav exactly what happened. I don't have to be matriach you. I'll tell him exactly what happened in Torah. She says, no, you don't understand. I know that you'll know exactly what to say. But who's going to stand up for the maid? Who's going to defend her? She's the defenseless one. I'm going to speak on her behalf. Look at the next pasuk. Im ane ta'ane oto. If you will cause him pain, if you're going to cause hurt to the almana or to the atom or anybody who is vulnerable and weak, he's going to call out unto me, he will cry out unto me, guaranteed, promise, God promises, shamoa eshmatza akato, I'm going to hear his cry. And punishment is going to be swift. V'chora api, and my anger, my wrath will go out, and I will kill them with the sword, and their wives will be widows, and their children orphans. The Kotzker on Pasuk 22 says the following. It's most probably one of the most unusual psukim in Chumash, the three twos, Ane Ta'ane, Tsa'ok Yitzak, Shamoa Eshma. No other pasuk in Tanakh like this. So yes, what's the meaning? Why everything double? The verb and then the makor. Ane Ta'ane, Tsa'ok Yitzak, Shamoa Eshma. So he says the following. Because the weak and the vulnerable, take the almana. Odi Yosef, you're gonna hurt them about something totally unrelated to the fact that she is an almana or the child is a yatom. Totally unrelated. But you know what happens when you cause them hurt? It reawakens the feelings of being an almon and being a yatom. May very well be the idea, oi, if I would have a husband, you wouldn't be able to do this to me. Would I have a tata or a mama to take care of me? This wouldn't have happened. That means when you cause them hurt about something, it reawakens and brings to the fore that other hurt. So therefore, your or no, your act of taunting causes and brings to the fore another hurt. Their original hurt, their weakness, their vulnerability comes to the surface. And therefore, Tzaok Yitzhak, when he's going to cry, and you know what? He's going to cry out because of the present hurt that you caused. And he's also going to be crying out, or she is going to be crying out, because of that previous hurt, the existing condition that she is almana and he is yatom. So therefore, you know what? Shamoa eshma, I'm going to hear the cries on both levels. I'm going to hear the cry because of the present hurt, and I'm going to hear the cry of that that previous pre-existing condition. And for both of them, you're going to suffer. Rashi says, interesting, the structure, there's a problem in the structure of Pasuk 22. Im ane ta'aneoto, if you will cause him pain. So what will happen? If the rest of the Pasuk flows naturally from im ane ta'aneoto, then it should have said, im ane ta'aneoto, Vitzaok Yitzhak Eli, and he will cry out unto me. Shomo Eshmat Sakato. The fact that it says Ki Im seems to set off that part of the pasuk from the first part. So therefore, Rashi says Im Ane Taneoto. Rashi says is Mikra Katzer. It's a short pasuk. A short pasuk means that the pasuk is not expressing everything that is to be expressed over here. Imagine as though the pasuk is saying, God is saying, Im ane ta'ane oto, if you're going to cause harm, ochen vei, you're going to get yours. Doesn't even have to be expressed. Im ane ta'ane oto. And the rest is understood. It's as though there is a pause in the pasuk and understood. Oi, it will be bad for you. Ki im tzaok yitzhak elai. And then, if all he does is just cry out unto me, instantly I will hear Tzakato. The Ramban here is magnificent. The Ramban says the following. I'm going to just read a few lines from the Ramban. Ramban says the following. The way I understand the pasuk, says the Ramban, ki yomada, the pasuk is saying imanei taneoto rakim tzaok yitzhak elai bulvad, if you cause pain, if they just cry out unto me, miyad eshmat zakato, instantly I will hear their cry. Einenu tzorech ludaver acher klal, the almana, the atom, need nothing else, just a cry. A cry is enough. Because I'm going to save them, then kom oto mimcha, and I am going to take revenge from you. The reason is ki ata lo chetz oto. Listen to this. Why do you oppress the weak? Why do you oppress them? Mipnei she'en lo moshia miyodcha. Because there's nobody to help them from your hand. There's nobody to defend them. They're helpless. So you should know you're making such a terrible mistake. Vihinehu yoten ne'ezar mikol adam. He has more help than any other person on the face of this earth. I'm the one that's going to defend him. You're making a terrible mistake. And watch how the Ramban says it. Because he says, Kishad anoshim, other people who have friends and relatives and associates and are well connected, Yitrechu achrei moshiim, they're going to go find people to help them. Va'acharei ozrim, and people to assist them in order that they should be able to take revenge. V'ulai lo yo'ilu, you know, you may go to ask for somebody's help and it may not help. V'hatzeil lo yatzilu, they're not going to say. V'zeh, but this helpless person, b'tzakato bilvad, that alone, that he cries out, no shabashem, he is saved by God. V'yinkom mimcha, ki nokem Hashem u'bal chema. He's going to take revenge. In other words, it means there's an illusion. You're living with an illusion. You are causing harm. You are exploiting the weak and the helpless. What you don't know is they're not weak and they're not helpless because they have the greatest assistance in the world. I'm the one that's going to come to their aid. And he brings two beautiful psukim in Mishlei. One pasuk in Mishlei is, Al tigzol dal ki dalhu, don't steal from the poor because he is poor, v'al tedakei ani bashar, and don't crush the poverty-stricken within your gates, ki Hashem yoriv rivam, because God is the one who is going to wage their battle. So he says, the pasuk is telling us, you're going to steal from the poor because he's poor. You're going to crush the poverty-stricken because he's poverty-stricken. He can't fight back. You're making a mistake. Hashem Yariv Rivam. God is the one who's going to wage their struggle for them. And then another pasuk in Mishlei. Ubisidei Yetomim Al Tavo. Don't come into the field of the of the orphan. Don't come and try and take anything from the field. So, the Ubisidei Yetomim Al Tavo Ki Goalam Chazak. In the field of the Atom, don't come Ki Goalam Chazak, because the Redeemer is strong. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. His name is God. His name is God. The Sefer HaChinuch, says the following. Yes, go ahead. Ultimately, of course, that's what the pasuk is saying. Ultimately. But I don't know, it's not only that. There's a story I heard from the Chafetz Chaim. There was a person in the town where the Chafetz Chaim lived, and he was a landowner, you know, one of these slum landlords. He had an almana that was living in one of his buildings, and it was the middle of the winter, and she ran out of money. She had no money to pay for the rent. So he told her, you have to get out. Where's she going to go? No place where to go. She couldn't leave. So he removed the roof. He took off the shingles from the roof. So she had to move. In Raden, the city was livid with anger. One of the rare times that the Chafetz Chaim said, something's going to have to happen sooner or later. You can't do something like this and get away with it. They say some years later, he was bitten by a rabid dog and died a misa mishona. The horror api, my anger, the horror api, for harakti eschem. Before I go to the chinuch, the Mechilta. Listen to a Mechilta. Ah! The Mechilta says the following. Kvar hoyo Rabbi Yishmoel v'Rabbi Shimon yotzin liharek. Rabbi Yishmoel, Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel were being taken out to be executed. They were two of the Asora Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs who were put to death by Rome. And they're on their way out to be executed. Amalu Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi, libi yotzei, my heart is going out. Sheini yodei almani nerak. I don't know why I'm being killed. What did I do? What did I do? Was I that bad? Amalu Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yishmael said to Rabbi Shimon, listen to this. It's frightening. It's frightening. Amalu Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yishmael said to Rabbi Shimon, "Miyamecha bo adam etzlecho ledin. Did anybody ever come to you for a din Torah, only sheila, or to ask your shaila? V'ikvato, and you kept them waiting. Ad shetei shoteh koschan, till you finished drinking your cup of tea. Or noel sandalchan, till you put on your shoe." Oh, El Tev Talitcha, until you put on your cloak. Did you ever keep anybody waiting? Omra Torah, the Torah said, Imanei Taneoto. If you're going to cause pain, and the Gemara learns that from the double term, Anei Tanei, Echot Inui Meruba, Ve'echot Inui Mua. It doesn't have to be a horrible pain that you cause somebody, a great deal of pain, or a little bit. Even a little bit of pain. You kept somebody waiting because you had to finish your drink. You had to put on your shoes, or you had to put on your coat. Did it ever happen to you? Amalo, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel turned to Rabbi Shmuel and he said, Nichamtani, Rabbi. Rabbi, you have consoled me. You have consoled me. Absolutely frightening. I believe the Marsham, one of the Gedolei Yisrael of the last century, in one of his tshuvas, in one of his letters, he writes to the members of his, that he always told the members of his family, he always told them, if somebody's going to come ask a shaila, even if I'm sleeping, wake me up. If I'm in the middle of eating, interrupt me. He was frightened of this mechilta. The idea of putting people off, frightening, terrible thing that falls into the category of it's something that becomes common in a sense and an acceptable in a bureaucratic society. It took me 4 years to become a citizen of this country because I was afraid to go to the Misrad HaPnim. Misrad HaPnim, the thought of either going into the big room with all of the, cattle lined up. Somebody told me that they remodeled the whole Misrad HaPnim. Or to wait. At room number 12. The Nishamik can escape. And if you get out of there alive, it's Tchias amazing. But incidentally, don't get me wrong. It's not only, don't ever live with the impression that it's only in this country. God forbid, I'm not talking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how many of you were ever immigrants to the United States of America. Remember when, the Motor Vehicles Bureau, I don't want to talk about that, the Motor Vehicles Bureau, there were times I'm afraid to say that, I didn't renew registration and other things because I had to go to the Motor Vehicles Bureau. Now, you went someplace in Brooklyn, most probably. You went to Staten Island. I had to go out to Roosevelt Field, or when I wanted to get for my children American citizenship, I had to go to a place in Brooklyn. Even when you have to wait for 3-4 hours at the Misrad HaPnim, so first of all, you take a shas with you, you're going to go through a good part of shas. The last time I was there, I was sitting next to Natan Sharansky. Not bad. I don't want to tell you who I was sitting with in Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn over there.
I mean, the kind of people I wouldn't want to be in a dark alley with at night or in broad daylight. In broad daylight. But the idea of keeping people waiting unnecessarily. Do you understand what Chazal was saying over here? Rabbi Shmuel turns to Rabbi Gamliel and says, you may be taken out now and put to death because you once kept somebody waiting. I mean, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. I don't believe that we're not on the level of a Rabbi Gamliel, but on some level, we have to understand that somebody occasionally may need us and need our teva, so we have a responsibility to do it as soon as we can. I mean, there are times when it may be justified to say, listen, I can't do it now, I'll do it tomorrow. Do me a favor, please. Do me a favor. Speaking about do me a favor, I want to read a Rambam. I have so much to do, I don't know, we're just not going to finish it all today. But let me read a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchot Deyot says, Chayev Odom Yizor, a person has to be careful about the widows and orphans, because their soul, their consciousness is low, v'rucham nemucha, their spirit is broken. Even though they may be wealthy. Interesting, this is the halacha. Afilu almanato shel melech, even the widow of a king and his orphans, we have to be careful because it says, kol almana v'yatom, kol almana. Now remember, what did Rashi say? What does the kol include? Rashi said that the kol includes anybody who has some kind of a burden, a peckle that he's carrying. The Rambam says kol includes any kind of almana and any kind of yatom. No such thing as a merry widow. And no such thing that money makes up for everything. No, listen, she's an almana, but he left her ungestopped. Right? So ungestopped, so therefore, well, this is a state of bliss. Absolutely not. Kol almana v'yatom. And how are you to conduct yourself with them, says the Rambam? Lo yedaber aleihem ele rakot, you only speak softly. V'lo yinhag behem ele minet kavod, you have to conduct yourself with honor. Watch that word kavod, with dignity, with them. V'lo yachiv gufam bavodah, you're not permitted to cause then physical pain through work, the libam, or cause pain to their hearts, bidvarim kashim, by saying difficult words. V'yachos al-mamonam yotemim mamon atzmo, you have to be careful with their money and their possessions more than you are careful with your own. And kol hamakitam amichamachisam, anybody who torments them or causes them anger, or hichiv libam, or cause pain to their hearts, or rodobahem, or lorded it over them, or evade mamonam, or caused them loss of money, harize over velotase, he has transgressed a negative commandment, the chosh came certainly somebody who hits them or curses them. And this negative commandment, even though the Torah does not give a punishment by bed din, but over here, the punishment, he says, is clear in Torah. The chora api, I will be angry, God says, v'horakti etchem v'chorev. Brit karat lahem misha amar v'haya ha'olam. A covenant was entered into between the one who created this world. Kol zman shein tzarkim mechamas, whenever they're going to cry out, because of violence that is done to them, heinanim, they are answered, shenema kiyim tzaok yitzak elai, shomar eshma tzakato. However, there is a qualification. When is all of this said? All of this is said is when somebody is causing them pain for one's own benefit. But what happens if it's a Rebbe who's teaching a Yosem? So what do you want? That the Yosem should go without any kind of guidance or direction? We're going to let him be Hefka. So if the Rebbe is the one who has caused them this pain, said a sharp word in order to teach them Torah or Umanut or a profession, a trade. To make sure that they go on the correct path. That's permitted. And even though it's permitted, the Rambam says, you shouldn't do it with min hakol adam, the way you would deal with any other student. You have to make, you have to conduct yourself with them differently. You have to conduct yourself with them benachat, with pleasantness, berachamim gedolim, with great mercy, the kavod, and honor. Shenema, as it says, pasuk that the Ramban also brought, ki goalom chazaku, the one who redeems them is strong. Hu yarivet rivam, he's the one who's going to fight their battle. To me, it seems, as I learned this Ramban twice, he uses the word, you should conduct yourself with kavod, with honor and with dignity. I have a feeling that the Rambam may say the following. He says, listen, you should treat them berachamim gedolim, with great mercy and compassion and with kavod. Sometimes we may make the mistake of pitying. I have a feeling the almana or the atom, I don't want your pity. So while I have to conduct myself with mercy and compassion, but it has to be bekavod, I cannot leave them with the impression as, oh, never. There are people who are revolted by pity. I don't want to be the subject or the object of your pity. Don't pity me. So I believe the Rambam is using the word kavod in order to point out that yes, you're supposed to sympathize, you're supposed to empathize, you should feel for them, but it has to be kavod, with dignity. With dignity, it shouldn't be saccharine sweet.
Condescending.
Or something that they will feel is condescending. And sometimes we can overdo our pity, and then it begins to just hurtle way down and becomes something that we didn't want and what Torah didn't want. And then the Rambam goes on to say it makes no difference whether one is orphaned from father or mother, and how long is one called a yosef? This is a very good question. For a good part of life, most of us are yosefim. How long is one a yosef? So he says, "Abshalo yiu tzrichim la'adam gadol li'samech alav," until they reach the point where they no longer need somebody else, an adult, to depend on, ula onam, and to raise them, or lihitapel behem, or to deal with them. Eliyeh osa kol tzorkei atzmo la'atzmo kishar kol hagdolim. As long as he can do everything that he needs for himself, like any other adult, no longer a din yatom. He doesn't ask how long is a woman an almana. Incidentally, there's another question that is raised by the Mefarshim. What about a grusha? What about a grusha? So you should know there are those who hold that according to the Chinuch, a grusha falls into the same category, because there's a Gemara that says that these are people who don't have anybody to turn to. Like the woman feels, I could have turned to my husband, when she's caused pain, if she doesn't have a husband to turn to, for whatever reason it might be. Even to the extent that there are some who say that even an unmarried girl can also fall into this category. So that's much more open-ended than Yatom. If we're talking about the Rambam, I just want to read something from a letter of the Rambam so that you should know, we know the Rambam so much, we know him from his philosophical writings. We know him as a scientist. We know him as the great colossus, the Talmud Chacham. We can't move without the Rambam today, 800 years later. We just read a halacha from his Hilchot Deyot. I want to read something else from the Rambam. This is a letter that the Rambam wrote to Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon. Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon was from the famed Ibn Tibbon family of translators. They translated a lot of works from Arabic into Hebrew. Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon was the one who was in the process of translating the Rambam's Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplex, from Arabic to Hebrew. Most of what the Rambam wrote, he wrote in Arabic. The Yad HaChazaka he wrote in Hebrew. So Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon writes to him a whole list of questions. He wasn't certain how to translate from the Arabic into the Hebrew. And then toward the end of the letter, Shmuel Ibn Tibbon was living in Bavel, and the Rambam was in Cairo. So he also writes at the end of the letter that he'd like to come visit the Rambam in order to sit down, you know, face to face and go over some of the other problems he may have in the translation of the Moreh Nevuchim. I want to read part of the response. After he has responded to all of the particular questions, he says the following. However, that which you mention about your interest in coming to me, come! Blessed are people who come to visit. And I'm very happy with this. And I want it. And I yearn and I long to see you. And I'll be happy to see you more than you're going to be happy to see me. And even though it's going to be difficult for you, your journey, there's the danger of going by sea, I will be very happy. However, I want to let you know something, and I want to advise you. Don't endanger yourself, because you will gain nothing from coming to see me beyond seeing my face. But if you want to gain wisdom, or you want to spend an hour with me alone, either day or night, al tochil bazeh klal. Don't even hope for it. Ki tochin in yanai, because my daily schedule is as I will tell you. He's telling Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon, the great translator of the Rambam's works, don't even think of coming to see me. I was sitting with somebody who told me of a beautiful sign someplace in downtown New York. Don't even think of parking here. The Rambam is writing to Rav Shmuel Ibn, don't even think of spending time. I want to tell you about my day. So he says, I live in Egypt, and the king is in Cairo. And between two places is an area, a distance of Trum Shabbos, 2,000 Amah. And my job with the king is a very difficult one. It's impossible for me to go a day without being there to see him. And I'm there every day at the beginning of the day. So I have to see him and I check. However, in the event that he's going to feel weak, a Cairo flu, or one of his children will be sick, or one of his concubines, I don't leave Cairo, and most of the day I spend in the king's palace. And there's not a chance that a day will go by that there won't be one of his officers, one of the members of his cabinet, every day. and then there's going to be one pakid or another two or three pakidim that are going to come in for a checkup. Vani tzarich lehitasek berfuatam, and I have to be involved. That's my job. I am involved in healing them. Klal shel dava. The rule is every day I go to Al Kahira, to Cairo, Bahashkama. Bahashkama means at the crack of dawn, I'm on my way to Cairo. And in the event that there's nothing special, nobody is terribly ill, nobody is coming to see me, I return to Mitzrayim, where I live, after half the day. Lo'agia, I don't arrive. Vani mitra'ev, and I'm absolutely hungry, and I come in, and all of my waiting rooms and my porch are filled with people. Important people, not important people, judges, officers, erev rav, a multitude of all sorts of people, yedu, they know at 8 shuvim, they know the time I'm going to return. And they're waiting there, full. The waiting rooms are full. Eirev me al habehema, I get off my donkey, my animal. Verchatzi adi, I wash my hands. Ve'etze aleihem lefaisa, and I go out to appease them, and I beg of them, please, I've just come home, I'm hungry, please wait for me. Please wait. Ad she'uchal le'echol achilat arai, until I can eat a snack, a bite, not a meal. V'him me'et li'et, and I eat this once every 24 hours. And then I go out. I go out to heal them, v'lichtov lahem, and to write out prescriptions. You understand? Watch the extent to which this man is going to be exhausted day in and day out. Lo yosur hanichnas v'hayotze pa'amim hadalayla. Usually, people in and out seeing me professionally, this goes on until nightfall. Ulifamim, and at times, and he says be'emunat ha'Torah, swear by the Torah. Atzov shtei shaot man alayla, goes another 2 hours into the night. And the point is usually reached that I tell them what to do to heal themselves. Vani shochev prakdan, I'm lying out flat, merov ayefut, because of my exhaustion. The kones halayla, it's already night. Vani betachle tachusha, I am absolutely weak. Lo uchal daber, to the point that I can't even speak, and I'm just lying out on the bed, and I see my patients. Sov davar. Reb Shmuel, you want to come see me? I want you to know, nobody can speak to me or sit with me all week. Zulat Yom HaShabbat, only Shabbos. And on Shabbos, my schedule is, everybody comes to the house after davening, and I lead the community. I tell them what they have to be careful of and what to do during the course of the week. And then we learn a little bit until afternoon, and they go home, and then there are others who come and stay with me in the house, and we learn until Maariv. Zeh tochen inyanei hayom. This is what I do during the course of the day. And I've only told you a little bit of my schedule. So therefore, you're going to come visit. I can't promise you that I'm going to spend any time with you. Maybe on Shabbos, you'll be able to get into synagogue. The reason why I read this, of course, is for the one point. The point where the Rambam, Oiz Gemuchet and Oiz Geveigt, he goes out and asks people, please, please, be meichel me, wait until I just have a little bite to eat. What's even more is, as I say, we know the Rambam as the great posek, the Rambam as the great philosopher. Here we see the Rambam as the great mensch. great. I don't think any one of us would be capable of conducting themselves the way the Rambam did. Yes. That's the question everybody else asks. What do you mean, when did he write? When did he learn? When did he learn and when did he write? I don't know. I don't know. If there is another letter in which he says that he toward the middle of the night he would begin to learn. Where does one get the koyches like this? I don't understand. And listen, the Rambam Paskens is supposed to sleep 8 hours. I think that's one Rambam that the Rambam didn't fulfill. Didn't fulfill. All right. I want to close with one more brief quote from the Sefer Achinuch. But I tell you, we've touched over here a number of psukim. These four psukim. There are a number of things that are important over here. Number one. With regard to the way we conduct ourselves with the ger, Chazal tell us that there are 36 psukim in Torah that tell us you are strangers in the land of Egypt. And therefore you have to know how to deal with other people. You have to remember that experience of Gedim Eidim. Do you understand? Can you imagine? The great mitzvahs of Torah, Shabbos, Kashrus, Pesach, the horrible Averas of Torah, the Chil Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, mentioned once, twice, three times. Ki Gedim Eidim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, remember that you will get 36 times. Nowhere else in Torah except for Avodah Zarah are we told the Chorah Abim that God says, I'm going to get angry with you. Torah is making it very, very clear in this Pashas Mishpatim that deals with the relationship between man and fellow man, man and friend, man and his neighbor, man in the world of business. The strongest terminology is set aside for man in his relationship with the one who he thinks is weaker than him, the one who he feels he can exploit, the one who he thinks will not be able to fight back, and as the Ramban said, Ki Goalam Chazak. Sefer Achinuch says that the way in which we conduct ourselves with these people is supposed to be Benachat, Bechesed, Ubechemla. With Edelkeit. How would you say Edelkeit? Gentle. Finesse. What did you say?
Adinut,
yeah, Fishkayach, yeah. I can also translate that way. We forget our English after all these years here. With kindness and with empathy. And he says, Mishoroshi HaMitzvah, at the very root of this mitzvah is the Fisha Elohim Teshushei Kor, because these people are weak. They don't have anybody who is going to speak up for them. The way the husband of this woman would have spoken up for, or the father of these orphans, if he would be alive. Therefore, the Torah Hashlema warns us, liknot midat chesed v'rachamim, that we should acquire the mida, the character trait of kindness and mercy, and we should be straight in all of our conduct, as though I have to see, as though before me there stands somebody who is standing up for them. We should attempt to find them innocent or side with them in everything. Even more than if husband or father would have been alive. Very magnificent, magnificent psukim, and we have only begun really to scratch the surface, only the surface but we are talking about psukim that I say I don't believe that there is any other code of law that in any way says anything that comes close to approximating what is said in these two psukim. And from these two psukim, you can learn a kal vachomer what kind of character and what kind of personality traits the Jew is supposed to